Okay, it is time for UFC Vegas 42 unanswered questions. And first thing, Mark DiCasey. I don't know what's going on with him. He started off his MMA career 12-0, and I remember during his early UFC career, we were pretty high on him. He was a good striker, looked like he was going to do some real damage in the UFC, and then things just fell off. He actually fought Dan Hooker at UFC 219 on the pay-per-view portion of that card, and since then, just not been good for him. He is now 2-5, dating back to 2017. And the thing about him is that he's still only 28. And so I think there's time for him to rebuild. I don't know if it's a confidence thing or if he's just peaked. I don't think he's peaked. He seems to have a decent amount of talent, and he's a good fighter. I just think there might be something that he needs a reset and a confidence rebuild. Maybe tweak some things in his game to, you know, maybe improve some aspects. But at his age and with his record, I think he might be best served to leave the UFC for a little while. Maybe fight in a local UK promotion and rebuild his confidence, add some wrinkles to his game, and then rejoin the UFC. He is someone the UFC might be able to build around in the UK, but not if he's on the run that he's currently on. So he needs, I think, in the best interest of his career, I think, would be to leave the UFC for a little while, rebuild, reset, and then rejoin the promotion. Rafael Alves, good fight for him with the win there, but afterwards he said, first thing this week they broke into my car, second thing they stole the keys to my home and I had to sleep on the street for 2 days. And I think we need a little more information on there. It's just, I mean, that was a little weird. So maybe we'll get a little more from Alves after the weekend here, and maybe it will fill us in a little bit on the details there. Joel Alvarez, good win against Thiago Moises. He's looking good, but the problem with him is he a lightweight? So now he's on a 4-fight winning streak. Three of those are all four are finishes. Three of them are first round finishes, but he missed his weight in his previous fight by 3.5 pounds, and he missed weight in this fight by 1.5 pounds. So let's pump the brakes on Alvarez, the lightweight, and consider Alvarez might be fighting above his weight division, he should be fighting maybe at welterweight. So we'll see what happens here. Incredibly talented fighter. But is he a lightweight or is he a welterweight? And missing weight 2 fights in a row tells me maybe not a lightweight, even if he makes the lightweight limit in his next fight. As you know, as your career goes on, as you get older, it gets more difficult to make that weight. And so he might be best served to move up to welterweight now instead of squandering whatever momentum he has here if he misses weight again, or if he makes weight this time and then misses weight in his next fight. He's looking like he's going to have some struggles on the scale. And so maybe Joel Alvarez needs to take a look and see what weight division his future lies in. Song Yadong, 23 years old, incredibly fast, incredibly talented. He is looking very good, and so he's number 15 in the bantamweight division. Maybe he might go up after his win over Julio Arce at UFC Vegas 42. Maybe not, but regardless of where he stands in the rankings after this fight card, the idea might be, let's not push him too fast right now. He's, like I said, he's only 23. The upper limits of the bantamweight division are pretty crowded, and there's a lot of activity that can go on there. You got Jan, you got Dillashaw, you got Sandhagen, you got Rob Font, Jose Aldo, Garbrandt, Munoz, Dominic Cruz still hanging around, Chito Vera on his way up, and Cody Stamann. So these are people that are ranked above Song Yadong. So I don't think there's any real reason to push him too fast, too far. Again, only 23, plenty of time to move him up, let him develop at his own pace, and not do the usual UFC thing where you push someone too fast when they're young just because you can. Then there's no real need to do so here. So I say let Song Yadong develop at least a reasonable pace. But will that happen? The UFC doesn't tend to do that, so I would be surprised if it happened. Herb Dean did a terrible job in the co-main event. He put his hands on the fighters and then kind of backed up and let the fight continue. And Marcos Rogério de Lima basically had a look at him like, come on, bro. You stopped that fight before Dean actually stopped the fight. It was terrible, terrible refereeing. And if it was anybody but Herb Dean, I think there would be an uproar about it. It's not the first time this same thing has happened with Dean. And I don't care if he makes a mistake in stopping a fight early. I mean, that's still a mistake. But what he did here is more dangerous than stopping a fight early. He made the decision and then he kind of seemed to change his mind. You cannot do that as a referee. You have to commit and you need to stick with your decision and go from there. He did not do that. That's dangerous. And he puts fighters at risk when he does that. I think there's a lot of leeway being given to Herb Dean here that I do not think should be given. His job is the safety of the fighters, and what he did today and he has done in the past is unsafe. I think Dean is slipping as a referee. I don't know why that is. I don't know if he gets in his head sometimes, but maybe he needs to take a step back and maybe commissions need to take a step back with him and let him get back in the groove. He's not a bad referee, but he's making bad decisions. And if he's allowed to keep doing that, then he's going to turn into a bad referee. I think the reaction here is it's mixed. I think in some aspects it's over the top, and in other aspects he's being given leeway. It probably all depends on your stance on Herb Dean, I guess. But if this was a referee other than Herb Dean, I think there would be a lot more calls for him to be booted out of high-profile fights. That's just my opinion. But he did a bad job at UFC Vegas 42, and I don't think you can argue in good faith that he did a good job in that Marcos Rogério de Lima and Ben Rothwell fight. I don't know what's wrong with Conor McGregor, but to film yourself pacing back and forth in front of your TV while somebody else is fighting and thinking this is, I don't know what, it's weird at best, maybe a little sad, and I don't get it. I don't get it. So if someone can explain it to me where this is kind of a, I don't know what it is, but it's bad. It looks bad. I look at it like this. If, you know, he's a father with children. Now, say these children were school age and they had to go to school the next day and that was their dad on TV doing that. And then you think they're not going to get made fun of? They're definitely going to get made fun of. You're going to be known as the kids with the weird-ass dad. At best. So I don't know what's going on over there with Conor McGregor, but he needs to take a step back and kind of mellow out a little bit. If he wants to fight Holloway, cool. But I don't know what that video does. It doesn't do anything positive, that's for sure. Which leads me to Max Holloway. What do you do with Max Holloway? He didn't seem to... I mean, he didn't call out Alex Volkanovski after the fight. He didn't really say who he wanted to fight. He just said that, you know, they come to him, which, okay, I understand that kind of thinking. But I also understand that maybe Max Holloway doesn't want to cut weight to 145 anymore. He's struggled. He didn't look great on the scale this time. He's getting older, and cutting the weight has to be getting old in and of itself for him as well. And so does he move up to 155? Does the UFC give him time to move up to 155 in a manner that is healthy and safe and allows him to develop his skills as a lightweight instead of just rushing him into 155? Do you book him against Conor McGregor at 155? And if you do that, what does that do to the futures of both fighters? I mean, McGregor's future is kind of gray area because he's only interested in money fights, I think, right now. And so a Holloway loss for McGregor probably doesn't hurt all that much, but a McGregor loss for Holloway, maybe that hurts him a little more, especially if he goes up to 155 and loses there. And then it's a loss to Poirier and it's a loss to McGregor. And, you know, then you have to march him slowly back up the rankings at lightweight. It's a weird spot for Holloway to be in. I think he's built up enough goodwill, though, that he gets to make that decision and that he gets a lot of input as to what his future holds, whether it be at 145 or 155. But I think there's some questions you need to ask about where Max Holloway is going to be in the future. I mean, he's not even 30 yet, so there's a lot of things that have to be taken into account when you consider the career and the future of Max Holloway. So I don't know where that's going to go, but I think that might be the biggest question coming out of this fight card is what's next for Max Holloway. And on that note, I'm going to call it a night on the questions for UFC Vegas 42. Stay safe.